Thank you for your words. One thing I always admire about Mike is his heart. He always shares his heart, his life. You guys are really blessed to have a couple like Mike and Julie in your life. I'll be honest with you, some of the most pure-hearted people I've ever come across. Sometimes when I look at Mike, I think I'm going to hell. There's even grace for me. And that's the reason why we have the cross, amen. I'm here to talk about the resurrection. Somehow it's hard to take all that in and then kind of jump to the jubilation of the resurrection. But I'm here to share that today. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. It's good to see everyone. Remember me? Yeah, you smile. He's like, what is he going to say now? But it was a pleasure to drive up from Norwich this morning. On top of the hour change, it was a little bit of a struggle. As you get older, it gets a little bit harder to get out of bed. But hopefully this will work. Maybe not. Reconnect this. Hold on. Okay, got it. So check. Are we up and running? Okay, probably not. Yeah, I'm plugging in. But right now we're going to talk about the resurrection. I don't really want to look at it more so from, I do want to look at it from the cross, but I want to look at what the resurrection does in our own lives. Okay? Don't even have it on, I wonder. That would help. Here we go.
Cool. Technology. All right.
Because without the resurrection, everything we do in Christ will mean absolutely nothing. Even today, I pulled this out of 1 Corinthians 15, and it says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching, my preaching... Yes. Is useless. And so is your faith. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. So when it comes to the resurrection, everything we do in Christ has meaning. Without the resurrection, even being here for church today, you're wasting your time. Why did I get up at 6 o'clock this morning? I did it because of the resurrection. Otherwise, this is futile and useless. Well, let's look at Romans 8. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, you, however, are controlled not by your sinful nature. Can I get an amen to that? But by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. So what raised Jesus from the dead? The Spirit. So the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. The only way Jesus could come out of the grave after 3 days was by the Holy Spirit. It says that the Spirit, he who raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. So let's connect the dots there. I'm a dot connector. So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead on the third day is the same Spirit that's living in every single baptized disciple. that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen to that? This is the good news. Remember that? So the point is, if I have this Holy Spirit inside of me, that can raise the dead, what kind of life can I live? You want to know? I don't think this Spirit came for us to have mediocrity. I don't think this Spirit is just enough to get me out of bed and go to church. I don't think this Spirit is just enough to get through life and take care of my kids. I believe the Holy Spirit came so we can have a dynamic life, a miraculous life, a glorious life, a life that touches many. I don't know too many things out there that have the power to raise the dead. But that lives in you. But in this passage it says righteousness. Righteousness engages the Holy Spirit. And through that righteousness and the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to live supernatural lives. That excites me. But without the resurrection, we have nothing. In Acts 2, 36 to 39, this is how we get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's exciting. We'll talk about the baptisms in a little while. We're going to have some baptisms here. And they will be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But my expectation for those baptized and God's expectation is for us to do amazing things. Jesus didn't die. And sometimes you've got to ask yourself in your own life, did Jesus die for this? When I look at my life, did He die for this? And this is some of the things that I asked myself a couple of years ago because I felt my faith was getting stagnant. And I asked myself, is this all? Is this the rest of my life? Because I wanted my life to count. And sometimes when you want your life to count, you have to make some pretty painful decisions. You know? And some of you remember when we first moved here, we had nothing. We still have your furniture. Can't have it back. We still have it. It's a little bit worn. You know, we have about almost 30 people in our house on a Sunday. God is moving. God is doing amazing things. Let's look at Romans 6. Turn over to Romans 6. Because I'm going to have my wife come up here in a little bit and share a little bit about what God is doing in the Norwich Church. And seeing the movement of the Holy Spirit touch many lives. And hopefully the resurrection is inspirational. And hopefully this time in the service will be inspirational to you. And maybe ignite the Holy Spirit inside of you and wake you up and saying, I'm going to say no to mediocrity. I want to make a difference. In Romans 6, very familiar passage. In verse 1 it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Oh, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. That's the glorious news. That's the good news. That's the gospel. It's good news. It's exciting. For we know that our old selves were crucified. And be honest with you, the death of Jesus is miserable. And sometimes we focus on the death of Jesus, but we don't live the life of the resurrection. Sometimes when we look at our faces as Christians, we're miserable.
Come to my church. I'm happy. Be like me.
And we should have the glory of Christ. We should have the glory of the resurrection. We live a celebrated life. That's who we are. That's what we live. Because we've put our old life to death and been raised to a new life in Christ. And are now united with Christ. I want to touch on this. Actually, in 2011, they did a census. And they interviewed 2,000 people in every city in the UK. And guess what came out to be the most godless city in the UK? Surprise! Norwich is the most godless city in the UK. But actually, if you look at it, it is full of churches. Actually has the most medieval churches north of the Alps. It is said once that there was a church for every week of the year, not to mention a pub for every day in Norwich. But it's amazing that in such a godless place, godless. And when I heard that, sometimes you can get discouraged. I remember somebody called me and said, "Do you know Norwich is the godless place?" I'm like, "Really?" I'm like, "That's exciting!" I got excited. I'm like, "Yes! What a challenge!" I didn't go in when nobody's open. Nobody loves Jesus here. Time to go back to America, honey. I told you. You can go online and look at that. But my wife's going to come on up and share about bringing life into a godless place. Amen.
All right. Job. Well, hello, you guys. I sure miss you. I cannot wait to see you guys. I feel like I've been like a giddy schoolgirl the last few days. Just so excited to be reunited with so many of you. You guys are so dear and special to us. And a good majority of the great things that God is doing there in Norwich has a lot to do with the way that you guys embraced us at its embryonic state, you know, and helped donate and just really help us to continue to build the family. And so it is so great to be able to bring, you know, part of the church up to meet the rest of the brothers and sisters here. So thank you so much. I really want you to celebrate in the glory of what God's doing in this body, because He used you guys a great deal.
Amen.
To really see some of the miracles that are going on. I wanted to share a little bit about how God has grown His church since last time we were here. So it started with just four of us. It started with Marvin and I, and Martin Valenta. Martin Valenta.
There they are.
And we were so grateful that they decided to come with us and join us on this journey and on this mission for God. And I appreciate their heart, just how they gave up their jobs. They didn't have any, and they decided on their own dime to help us start this church. And God has really been very gracious to them and with their faith, and they've been hard-working soldiers with us right by our side and helping us to build God's church in Norwich, and we're so grateful. So we started with four, just the four of us, and a big God. As God continued to grow His church, at this point now we have 13 members, disciples in our church in Norwich, and 8 in our Suffolk group. So we have our Norfolk group and our Suffolk group. My husband will share a little bit more about that in a bit. And the first two people that came to faith actually was a man named Travis and Carrie Nelson, and they are former clients of my husband because he is doing counseling. And so they had come to him for marriage counseling, and as God would have it, he found, or they found Marvin through Google. Oh. So, God's in control of the web, thank you. And so then, after they came to faith, then it was amazing how God would work it out. Then there was a brother that needed to be restored, and he actually lived right next to the first couple that got baptized. Their backyards are just separated by a fence. So it just goes to show you how God was orchestrating and starting to build. Then after he came to faith, we had another incredible mature couple move from the States named Dave and Kate Boyer. They're actually in the back. They got some friends of them visiting with them today. And I'm so grateful for them to come because really they're like an anchor couple there in our Suffolk group because the church started to grow and multiply and the Suffolk group is about an hour away from us. It made no sense for us to continue to just meet all together. So they then started to meet out in the Suffolk area. And so they definitely are rocking and rolling. I'll share some other things that are going on there. But so then next after them, God brought another couple from America that are disciples. And their name is Chris and Carolyn Nelson. So they're also part of the Suffolk group. So there at the Midland Hollick Air Force Base, essentially, there were no disciples there. God decided, right, I'm going to put some disciples there. Because we need to go on ahead and save all those people that are coming over from America. Get them a place to be saved too. So then right after them, then a brother, a single brother from, I think, what's the Northwest, I want to say? James Essene. He came from London, but he lives in Thetford, which is in the Suffolk area. So now he's part of the Suffolk group. And then the very own Lamont from this group. Woo! Mr. Lamont. He is Mr. UEA. He decided to allow God to use him and his education to help us build our campus ministry there in Norwich. And so he came on down, and he was our very first campus student. Then, right after he came, God brought yet another ex-client of my husband's from his counseling business to become a disciple. Her name is Kirsty. And then, after she became a disciple, God really continued to bless us and brought us another pair of mature disciples in the faith. That's been disciples, you know, about 28, almost 30 years, married 22 years. Two of their kids are disciples. We've known them for over 17 years. They used to babysit Holland when he was a baby. And this is actually John and Kristen Norman. If you guys can stand on up. John, he actually is a traditional Englishman himself, and his wife is an American wife, so we got something in common right here. We fell in love with the Englishmen, so and they have brought us on a journey.
Good stuff. We
like you guys. So anyway, we're so grateful to have them, just really appreciating their heart. They, too, have come from very successful careers. He's a tech guy. She's a nurse. They were doing very well for themselves in America, and they, too, were just feeling like, we need to do more for God. And so they, on their own dime, sold everything, much like we did, pretty much everything, and decided to come and join us and to continue to help build God's church here. And I'll share a little bit more about their faith and how God's just really working it out. So then after they came, you got a picture now?
Yes.
All right. These beautiful people. Equa is the sister that I guess would be on your, what's this? Right? On your right-hand side. And Becky, they actually are our neighbors. And, Becky, stand on up. Woo-hoo! Equa, she's here in London. She's actually with her family. Her mom had this big birthday party today, so she had to go there. But anyway, so Becky and Equa, it's great. Just trying to live out what the scriptures say about love your neighbor as yourself. Well, God put it on our heart to reach out to them. And they had come on out and come to church and study the Bible. And so Equa ended up getting baptized first.
There you go. You're not
bothered. In our bathtub. And then after Equa got baptized, the next person that got baptized was... Sarah and Shalom. Go on ahead and stand up, Sarah and Shalom. And they're a beautiful star. Sarah is our first teen baptism and the awesome daughter of the Normans who came from America to join us. So their daughter, she was so just chomping at the bit, ready to come to Christ. And, you know, we were just like, wait, come on, make sure you're okay, you know. And, you know, I appreciate just her maturity. She's 15 going on 16, and she has some deep convictions. It is pretty amazing. Please make sure you get some great fellowship with her. So she got baptized. And then the story about Shalom is so beautiful. It's actually my daughter is good friends with her baby sister. They go to the same junior school together. Yeah, they're in the children's ministry, in the preteen ministry. So it was because of the friendship that my daughter has with her baby sister that I was able then to get to know their family. And so through their beautiful little friendship, God used their friendship to help the two of them, the big sister now, Shalom, she's a disciple. Her little sister, which isn't so little, she's 18, is also studying the Bible. And Lord willing, she'll be our sister maybe even next week. And so it's just a beautiful thing. And the story continues. So I'll have Marvin share that one because it's a really special thing. But God really helped her to come to faith in a great way. She had huge costs. She even had a breakup with her boyfriend that was an atheist and unbelieving. That was very hard. And God was able to help her to remain faithful. And actually the same thing with Becky. Here he is. Becky.
Close up.
She just amazing sister. Get some great fellowship with her. She definitely came to the Lord blazing in fire because Satan was not happy that she came. And just her heart, God used her not only to respond to him, but then she touched, of course, her roommate because her roommate is Equa. And then Equa and her roommate started studying with other friends that they had. And so here they weren't even disciples yet, and they had like one, two, three, four of their friends studying the Bible. And they were just studying the Bible. Whatever they learned, they would go back and teach their friends. And it was just really beautiful to see. And so Becky, she and Equa both have received intense persecution. Here our little church of, 20 in Norwich is making quite a little rumbling. And we've only been there for a little while. And a nice-sized church, her former church that she went to, has been molesting and just mad and mean and posting ugly things and dissuaded friends from even going to her baptism. I mean, it's just been full on. I'm talking up until almost the moment she got into the water, a friend that was supposed to come to her baptism landed up pulling out because her pastor posted something on Facebook to discourage anybody from going to her baptism. I mean, just intense. But I appreciate her heart and her faith. She, too, was dating a man that actually had professed to be a Christian, but as she studied the Bible, she realized not only was she not really right with God, he wasn't either, and she actually broke up with him. Marvin will continue. Well, actually, Mike will continue that story because that's a really beautiful story. Who's next? Okay, so Becky got baptized. And then, is there anything else going on? Okay, so here you see the three sisters together. Yay. So there's just been a lot going on. I'm super grateful. And we have actually a few more friends, I think another four maybe, that might be coming to faith here real soon. So God just continues to add to his number, saving his children, and we're just humbled and grateful to be part of it.
I think we just touched on this. We went from one house church to two. First team baptism. We've got UEA students. Obviously, Becky and Equa are our neighbors. We live at number 6. They live at number 7. So Becky can see if we're misbehaving. I mean, literally, she can look right into our living room. I'm not exaggerating, am I? My wife shared about that. Several people studying. In a year, we went from 4 to 20. We're any given Sunday, I think I'm actually dismantling furniture to get people into our living room. I think the most we've had in there was 27. Oh, no, 31. And that's not including the other house church, too, where they're having, 10 to 15. So you can see already we're having 40-plus people every Sunday. Which is, I don't know. I may have to pull out the windows or something. Actually, even have my daughter and her friend sitting on the windowsill. As long as they don't fall out, I have to resuscitate them or something, But ultimately, it's God glory, amen? That's kind of blurry, but it kind of gives you a thing. I'm actually have Joe come on up. Come on up, Joe. This is Joe Leader.
Hello everyone.
Let me just tell you what miracle this young man is. Even for him to be up here, the first time he came to house church, he was overwhelmed by the 20 odd people in our living room.
Terrified.
Absolutely terrified.
Terrified.
So you imagine him standing up here right now in front of, what, 200-300 people that he doesn't know. And, long story short, Joe is going to get baptized today. Amen. And Joe is a Norfolk boy, born and bred. And, you know, this is the reason why I moved to Norwich. This is it right here. Not just him, but Norfolk people. It really is. And I wanted Joe to share his testimony today so you can understand his story. And in turn, he's getting baptized today. And I want him to personally connect with you so you can pray for him and also his family. So I give you Joe. Here you go.
Thank you. As Marvin always said, I'm really nervous. I've got a bit of a sore throat too, but here's a story. How I was really sinful, really, really sinful. Not even as just a non-Christian, I mean, just as a human being, I was really bad. I was a drug addict, you know, I was really desperate, miserable, hurt a lot of people, you know. I cheated on probably pretty much every single girlfriend I've ever had. Stole from pretty much every workplace I've ever worked at. I've lived a really bad life so far. I was so desperate. I remember one time, a really low point sticks in my mind. One time I was in a room with some other drug addicts. One of them had some powder. It was all damp from his pocket. I remember drying it out on his kitchen top, and people saying, "That's disgusting. Don't go near that." I dried it out and chopped it up, and I was so desperate. I started snorting. I break crumbs in it. I remember looking at the faces of the other people in the room. You know, even they were disgusted. You know, they were looking and thinking, "What are you doing?" You know, that's a low point. I've had a lot of low points, but yeah, I mean, God. I never believed in God. You know, to the point where I remember a guy coming around with the pamphlets on my doorstep. I looked down and just told him, "Go away." You know, I sat at Marvin's dinner table a month ago.
Yeah.
I said
a month ago.
Well, literally a month ago. I said, you know, I don't believe in God. No matter what you say, I'll never believe in God. You know?
Surprise!
Exactly, yeah. You know? My girlfriend, I started seeing, Shalom, at the time, she was religious, she went to church, and, you know, I was jealous of the love she was giving to God. I was really jealous and envious of. I almost hated him for taking my girlfriend away. You know? Yeah, that was hard. She tried to stop her doing it, you know, all these sorts of things, and pull away from it. First time at church, the first time I went, like Marvin said, I was absolutely terrified. For a Norfolk person, people you don't know, to try and interact with a load of people you don't know is really difficult. We're very close people, you know. You don't go around people's houses so much. We're very private people. I remember thinking, well, I'm never going back to church, that's it. I said to Marvin in the hallway, I said, "Yeah, that was interesting, thanks for that."
Yeah, see you later. Bye. Yeah, bye. Interesting.
Interesting, yeah. And that was it. I was gone. But, you know, obviously my girlfriend was, she's still religious, going to church, so I thought, well, you know, she's pulled me away. She persuaded me to study. She stopped having sex with me and stuff, and I thought, well, I'm going to try and study and, you know, get back with my girlfriend. Or maybe try and use the knowledge against her. I learned, you know, it's that bad, you know. I started studying, learned about Christ and the Bible, and you know, listen to the lessons and you know what it's all about and stuff. And I started noticing changes. I started actually, you know, the main turning point was she dumped me. She finished with me. You know that. Is,
you know, you got to forgive her.
I know.
Man, I just want
to
tell
that.
You that, you know. All right, carry on, sorry.
But yeah, I'll forgive her. But yeah, she dumped me, you know. I thought, I really, at that point, I kept studying. So I thought, wait a minute, you know, it's for me now. Something's happening, so I'm not with her anymore. I just thought she hated me, but I'm still studying. The way I've interacted with people, you know, I've always been very close, but I started opening up to people. Communicating with them, you know, really, really listening to them, empathising with them, you know, just What was I saying? Sorry, it's very difficult still. Yeah, just things like that. My relationship with people, and you know, I started sort of seeing the benefits of the lessons I put into practice. There's times, there's feelings. I started feeling things I hadn't felt since I was on drugs. You know, I mean, you saw Echo up there. Baptism. You know, everyone linked arms. We're all one. You know, I bowed my head and I felt a rush. I was feeling a buzz. You know, I was loving it. You know, I started looking for the next buzz. I became almost addicted to God, almost. You know. But, I drive to work in the morning. I can feel God's love. I feel He's watching over me. You know, I pray. Instead of singing to whatever on the radio, you know, I pray to God on in the morning on the way to work. You know, I really feel Him. He's angry sometimes. You know, the other week at work, I was standing there. I was doing, you know, I'm a manual machinist. I just manual work. I was working. My work friend come over. So that new guy, he's rubbish. He's terrible. You know, what's he doing here? You know. I engaged and I said, yeah, he's not really good. And I thought, wait a minute. From the stuff I already learned, that's gossiping. That's not a good thing to do. I felt God was angry at me. You know, I stopped and, you know, cut that off and stopped doing it. I've come full circle in next to no time, you know, from not believing in God and being completely sinful. Inside of a month, my life's completely changed. So thankful for the new life I've been given. For pretty much saving my life, you know, reaching out to people. I go around, I'm happy, I'm open, that's something I've never been. I'm not selfish anymore. I'm so grateful to God for giving me this new life, and I'm so grateful for Marvin, Christine, John especially, and Martin and Luena, you know, everyone, Cherise, and just everyone at the church for waking me up and giving me this opportunity, for, you know, Jesus for giving me the opportunity, you know, wipe my slate clean and have a real life, you know. I'm really grateful. Amen.
That is so encouraging. Thank you so much. It's great to hear what God is doing in Norwich. Really, really so thrilled that we had a chance to get to know Marvin and Therese before they went and planted the Norwich Church, so that we can feel that connection. But that's really encouraging. At this time, I actually want to ask Gertz and Andy, he's already up here, to come make their way up onto the stage. Gertz is also going to get baptized today as well. I'm going to ask Andy just to go ahead and introduce him to us.
I have a scripture that reminds me of Gertz. It's about being hungry, because Gertz is a hungry man. It says in Matthew 5 verse 6, "Is blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." He's a hungry man, and it's great to he came from obviously the Norwich connection. We got a text, Paul Rowden and myself, to reach out to Gertz. I was more righteous than Paul. Only in this one area. But it was funny, because our first conversation, and Gerb's reminded me, was very difficult. I don't know. I thought it was a bad line, but he told me no. He just wasn't very keen to hear my voice. And so I thought I just left it at that. And then I thought, wow, how am I gonna? Should I leave it to him to call me back, or should I try tomorrow? But then Gerb's actually texted me the next day and apologized and said, that was great, yes, that he wanted to come to church. But it's great. I've been studying with Gertz for a few weeks now, actually a couple of months. I know Mike shared about him a couple of weeks ago, just his how he responded to the sin study and how he's been responding to studies. But I certainly want to commend him for his diligence. I know there's been a bit of persecution from Norwich in the Norwich church, and When you are challenged on doing something like repenting and becoming a disciple, and it looks different to what Christianity outside looks like, it's very difficult to keep to the Bible. It's very tempting just to think that everyone else is right. Because lots of people think this, it must be right. And I remember GURPS coming in every day, every other day, saying, I've gone over the scriptures, I hear what these people are saying, but I also hear what the Bible's saying. And I can't really see a way of going against what the Bible says. And just keeping on coming back to this, the Bible is saying, Mike and I would regularly just encourage GURPS to go away, read over material, read over things again, and he would diligently read over the stuff. And I think the thing that stands out is this desire to find out what the Bible teaches and then ultimately to do what pleases God, even against his feelings, as they've shared it, breaking up with his girlfriend. Difficult. Very hard. It's an emotional reason goes out of the window, but GURPS decided to fight his feelings and just say, hey, let me just look at the Bible again and find out what God is saying. I know I feel like doing the opposite, but what does the Bible teach? And time and time again, he just stuck to the Word of God to the point where he was hungry to get baptized, and that's why we have him here today.
I'm going to actually have GURPS come up and share a few things for himself as well.
But basically, coming from a background with very little religious faith, I basically grew up like your regular guy, and I just did whatever I wanted to do. So just sinning and just having fun, basically, because I thought, yes, not going to hurt. And then one time I decided to go to Norwich, and obviously when I went there to UEA, the university there, I met Becky. And Becky helped me really a lot with my faith and helping me to start going to church. And then from there on, we started dating and things like that. A few years went by. I came back to London because my university wasn't so well. But what ended up happening was one day she rang me, and I remember she was telling me she started doing Bible studies with someone. And I was just like, fair enough, that's okay. And then she started telling me she met up with Charisse and Marvin, and that she was just thinking about becoming a disciple. And at first I was just like, okay, that's good. And then when she told me, I want you to become a disciple, and I was just like, okay, that's not good. Because obviously before, when I just looked in the Bible, I just thought a disciple was a more committed person. And I was just like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. And then obviously we ended up breaking up because she was serious on the Bible standards of morality. And I guess I was gutted. But when I look back on it now, it was the right thing to do because it wasn't a right relationship for God. And then Becky asked me if I wanted to study the Bible, and I did, because I felt here's an opportunity for me to learn more about God and not get my feelings involved. So I told her yes, and then through Charisse, I started studying with Andy. And like Andy was saying, our first time he mentioned that we got in touch, I don't know, to me it wasn't a bad line, but when he just called me, he was just like, hi, is this Gertz? I'm like, yeah, who's this? He goes, hi, yeah, you got a girlfriend in Norwich called Becky. And I was like, who the heck is this? And I was just like, that wasn't a really good start, especially if I went to do Bible studies. So, yeah. And I realized, no, I guess I had the opportunity to decide whether or not if I wanted to do it. And I kind of knew what was right and wrong, and I realized it's time for me to stop messing around and put things what's really important to me, and that's basically God. And basically this last 6 weeks were both encouraging and challenging, both equal measures, but I guess today I'm really glad that I'm able to make the right decision and become a true Christian.
It really has been a joy to be able to be involved in some of the studies with GURPS and Andy, and it is encouraging just to see his heart and his desire just to really want to do what's right. GURPS has asked if I can just read the scripture. It's from Joshua 1 and verse 9, where he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Before we baptize GURPS, I have two questions to ask. Number one, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that he rose again on the third day?
Yes.
And what is your good confession?
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Because of that, we're able to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for your sins to be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit and be added into his church. At this time, we're going to... Yeah? Okay. Yes.
Amen. So, Joe, I have two questions for you.
What?
All right?
Yep.
Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
I do.
That he was born?
Sorry.
That's right. That's a good thing. Right. That he was born, died, buried, and rose again on the third day.
I do.
What is your good confession?
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. So now, because of your good confession, we're able to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You'll receive God's Holy Spirit, you'll have your sins forgiven, and you'll be added to his family. Yes, amen.
Thank you. We're going to allow Joe and Gerp just to go off and quickly get changed. We're going to have one final song, off which I will ask the parents to collect their children from the children's classes, and then we'll have the...